The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is from Joe Galusik. Visit us on the web at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I want to read to you a verse of scripture from the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 16. These are the words of Jesus Christ speaking. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. This is a very important statement. Firstly, primarily, our Lord Jesus Christ made this statement, so thereby, by definition, it's important. It is his words, and by default, if you want, it is true, completely, perfectly true, and important. There are no casual statements recorded in the scripture of unimportant things said by the Messiah of God, the Anointed One, the Christ, Jesus. If we, me, and or you, do not see the importance of the words of Christ written down, let me make this clear. That's our problem. That's our lack of sight. That's our lack of understanding. That's our lack of comprehension. There's nothing wrong or even, like I said, casual said by our Lord in the scriptures. Every single word Jesus spoke was true. Every single thing Jesus said was the absolute truth and at the same time glorified the Father. Everything the Son did glorified the Father. Our understanding is limited. The second reason this is important is this is Jesus Christ speaking of who does the choosing. To be more accurate, this is the Lord of glory speaking of who has done the choosing. Most religious people, and I mean by that religious people, not necessarily believers, professed Christians but may not be Christians. Most religious people think this is a settled matter. There's no need for discussion, and there's certainly no need for the exposition of this scripture. But as usual, the religious are right and are wrong at the same time. It really is a settled matter. Christ said it, and that settled it. It doesn't really change anything by what man says. Christ said this. Thus saith the Lord, as recorded in the scriptures by the Apostle John. I'll take his word over it and Christ's word over what any preacher has to say about it or about anything else for that matter. It is a settled matter. Christ said it. That settled it. But it is not settled in the manner that the religious people think, believe, or preach. Because this is a flat statement by Jesus Christ. This is not There's no opening here for debate. It is settled. It is a negative statement of fact, the very first part of it, where he says, ye have not chosen me. This is a negative statement of fact. It's stated in the negative. Ye have not. Now, later on in the verse, right after this, he goes into the positive part of it. But right now, he is speaking in the negative, and he is speaking of those, to those who didn't choose him. And this is spoken in the past tense. Ye have not chosen me. Ye never have chosen me. There's no wiggle room here in these words. There's no wiggle room in the scripture, period. But there is no quibbling. There's no hesitation. There are no modifiers. This is a baldly stated fact. Whoever Christ is speaking to here, whoever that is, they did not choose him. So, who is Christ speaking to? Well, I'll start with a negative here. Jesus Christ was not speaking to the Pharisees, or to the scribes, or to the Romans. Jesus Christ here was not speaking to anyone who had rejected him. Jesus is not speaking to the world and everyone in it, even though this statement, ye have not chosen me, is true of the world and everyone in it. Christ is speaking to his apostles and possibly more, his disciples. You guys, my disciples. This is just after the Passover, which we call the Last Supper. Those who just had the Passover with Christ, except Judas, who has already left. Judas is gone to betray him. This is the you that Christ is speaking to. Ye did not choose me. Ye have not chosen me. He's speaking to the apostles. What? The apostles didn't choose Jesus? Are you sure? That's what Christ just said. I'm certain. The apostles did not choose the Christ. If you want to look at the Gospels. Simon and Andrew were at work as fishermen, and Jesus Christ called them. James and John were also working as fishermen. Says they were mending the nets. He called them. Matthew, the publican, was at work as a tax collector for the Romans. He was at the receipt of custom. He was working. He was, in the words used by men, a collaborator. He was a Jew who was collecting taxes for the Romans. Christ called him. Philip was found by Jesus, and Jesus told him, follow me. Philip told Nathanael about Jesus. Nathanael came, and Nathanael found that Christ knew him before Philip came to him. He told him, under the fig tree, I saw thee. Guess what? None of these men, the apostles of Christ, the apostles. This is not just talking about, the Church of Christ at Corinth, the regular saints. This is the apostles. They didn't choose Christ. None of them. Not one. Now, if this is true of the apostles and the disciples who walked with Christ, who followed him, who saw him in the flesh, heard his voice with their ears, how true is it of every other believer? It's just as true. Ye have not chosen me. But oh, Christ doesn't leave it there. That is started out with a negative. It started out with a negative, but he doesn't leave it there. The next statement, but I have chosen you. Those two words there let you know that something different's happening. But I. We've had the negative. Now it's time to go to the positive. Now we go to the positive statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I. He's already established, you didn't choose me. But I, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, I, the light of life, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I was talking to you about you. Ye didn't choose me. However, now I am speaking to you about me. I want you to know something about me, something of me. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen. Again, this is in the past tense. There has been a choice made. There was a choice, and that choice has been made. And Jesus Christ says, I made the choice. I have chosen. This is also, I said, both of these words chosen are in the past tense. They are both in what they call the indicative case in the Greek. Guess what? That means it indicates that this is an established fact. There is no doubt. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. It's not a question. It's not up for debate. It's a fact. It's already happened. It is in the past tense. I have chosen. You didn't choose me. You didn't choose me. I have chosen. He is chosen. But he didn't stop there either. He is talking to these apostles and possibly these disciples, whoever had the Last Supper with him, whoever was around there after the Last Supper. He says, I have chosen you. You. Particular, specific. This is exclusive. This is not inclusive. You. Not them. You. Not those that have left. There were those that had left in John 6. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. He didn't say, I chose them. He said, I chose you. He is telling those that were still with him, that were there with him, I chose you. I chose you. Not the world. I chose you. Christ said he didn't choose those that abandoned him in John chapter 6. They abandoned him after what he said. They abandoned him after he had told them that no man can come unto me except it be given him of the Father. And they left him, and not only left him, they went back. They went backwards and walked no more with him. And Christ looked at his disciples and he said, Hey, will you also go away? Peter answered, To whom shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Well, what are the words of eternal life here? But I have chosen you. See, here's the difference. The world thinks they can choose Christ. That's what they think. That's what's preached. That's what's taught. I'm sure you've heard it at one time or another if you're listening to this. I have chosen you. The ones that stayed, the ones that continued, if ye continue, then ye are my disciples indeed. The ones that stayed, the ones that continued, are only the ones that the Son has chosen. You didn't choose me, I chose you. See, here's the difference between these men and the other men. This is the difference. I have chosen you. Ye have not chosen me. I have chosen you. You understand? The world wants you to make your decision for Jesus. The religious world wants you to make your decision for Jesus. I've heard people say it. I decided for Jesus. And they're wrong. And they're lying. You understand? Christ said, ye didn't choose me. I chose you. See, the question is not whether you have chosen him, because that question's already answered. Christ said no. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said no. You didn't choose me. To his apostles. The question is, did Christ choose you? That's the question. Now we have a little bit of information of what happens to those. What happens to those whom Christ has chosen? It says, I have chosen you and ordained you. Ordained you. That word is placed. He has placed you. This is also in the past tense. This is also in the indicative case. And this is also in the active tense. Past active indicative. This has happened in the past. And it is a fact. And it is Christ who performed this action. I ordained you. I have placed you exactly where I want you to be. You are to be here with me. That's why you're here. You didn't choose me. I chose you. That's why these apostles are there. And if you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, if you try to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are one of his, it's because he chose you, not because you chose him. You didn't. He has ordained you. What? That ye should go forth and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. Now, I don't want you to get caught up or understand. I do want you to understand this is not fruit as the religious world speaks of it. You understand? I've heard preachers who say, well, I don't know much, but I am a fruit inspector. See, you should have fruit and I'll inspect it and that'll tell you whether it's good or not. No. The fruit Christ is speaking of here is the fruit of the Spirit. You should go, because Christ was going to leave the apostles here. But you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now, I will tell you this, nothing that man does in and of himself remains in the sight of the Father, or in the sight of the Son, or in the sight of the Spirit. We are fleshly, carnal, fleshly creatures. The only thing that matters is the fruit given by the Spirit to the believer. Christ had already told them he was going to send his Comforter. I'm going to send the Comforter to you. And he has been with you. And he shall be in you. And that was speaking of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. And some of these things, if you see, have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. Some of these things you can maybe catch a glimpse of in another person. But the thing here is, he's speaking to these, and that they should know that they'll bring forth fruit. They shall have love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, long-suffering. These are the things that remain, the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of a man. And it's not, it's not winning souls to Jesus. Because he just told us, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I cannot win a soul. I can't. Christ makes the choice. Christ has chosen. In Ephesians, it tells us. In Ephesians, it states, in chapter 1, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, speaking of the Father, chose us in him, the Son, Lord Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world. What? He's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world? Yes. Do you have a problem with that? Don't worry, you're not alone. A lot of people do. A lot of religious people do. But you understand, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the God. God never changes. If he chose you, he chose you before the foundation of the world. But he didn't leave it there either. In Ephesians, Paul didn't. That we should be what? Holy and without blame before him, before the Father, in love. There's a purpose to our choice. His choice, excuse me. My goodness. There's a purpose to his choice. He has ordained you that you should have fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. And guess what? He hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, according to the good pleasure of his will, that ye should have fruit, and your fruit shall remain. Now this last little bit, I'm almost out of time, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now see, there's a lot of people quote that part of the verse, and they love that. They don't talk about ye have not chosen me. They won't mention that. They'll read it, maybe. Sometimes they'll just skip over it. But I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. But this is the part they want. Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it. He may give it to you. Well, see, if you ask, God's got to give it to you. That's not what that says. That's not what that means. That's not even close. Because pay very close attention, because there is a modifier in this, a modifying statement. Whatsoever is true, ye ask, ye shall ask of the Father. Don't forget these next three words. In my name. This is Christ speaking. In my name, he may give it to you. He will give it to you if you truly ask in my name. Christ told us how to pray. And at the end of that prayer says, not my will, but thy will be done. You understand? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's not necessarily my will. That's his will. You can't just ask for anything and God has to give it to you. Believers do not make demands of God. That's not what Christ was teaching here. He is not at our beck and call. James put it this way, because, see, there are a lot of people who pray for a lot of things and they don't get them, and then say they get frustrated with prayer. Well, no, the problem's not with prayer. The problem's with you. Okay? James put it this way. He says, ye ask, ye pray, and receive not. And then he tells you why. Because ye ask amiss. You ask incorrectly. You ask wrongly. You ask, and he says it this way, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. That's James 4 and verse 3. Now you understand, that's the word of God. People ask for all kinds of things. Why? Because that's what they want. That's not asking of the Father in my name, in Christ's name. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. And if you ask of the Father in my name, according to my will, according to the Father's will, he'll give it to you. But if you ask amiss, if you ask for something you want and don't consider what God the Father has willed, you won't get it. But here's the point. Ye have not chosen me. I have chosen you. Do you know if Christ the Lord has chosen you? Have you brought forth fruit? Do you know the fruit of the Spirit? I pray you do.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.